Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Marcia Pilgrim is here to tell you more of the story of Office Wife.
I'm on my way to see Uncle Tristan Bendigo. Jeff rang up this evening to say that just because Benny Puller had offered him some ridiculous business deal, he was going to work till late to get out some figures. Not alone, mind you, but with Stella Bronson. Jeff doesn't have to work late, and he knows it. For one thing, he's married to me. And Uncle Tresidder practically owns the firm. Isn't that enough? When I think of those two together, alone in that office, I go hot and cold all over. My husband and that Bronson woman. Oh, it's infuriating.
Well, Miss Bronson, getting tired?
A little. We're just about finished.
How's the time?
Just on 10 to 10.
Good. I thought it would have taken longer. Now, I'll swing our tonnage rates and you check them from the files. We don't want to make any mistakes before we're properly started, do we?
Definitely not.
Right, well, here we go. Our import's not exceeding the value of £5,000.
Hello, Marcia. What the devil are you doing here? I thought you and Jeff were going to a party or something tonight.
So we were. But he rang up at 5 o'clock and put it off.
Oh? What for?
Oh, Uncle Tresidder. He's at the office with that detestable Bronson woman. It's ridiculous.
Now, what's ridiculous about it?
Well, surely he can do all the work he wants between 9 o'clock and 5:30. That's because Benny Puller comes to light with some perfectly silly business deal.
Now, look. You put yourself in Jeff's place. He's well in line for a junior partnership. But there'll always be plenty of people to point the finger and say... See how you get along if you marry the chairman's niece. Everyone knows that Tresidder Bendigo is one of the soundest firms in the city. And everyone knows that I own 85% of the stock. Now, what more do you want?
Uncle Tresidder, I still don't see why my husband should be so keen to spend his evenings at the office when he could be spending them with me.
Because I happen to know that Benny Puller brought his business to the firm on one condition. That Jeff Pilgrim handled the account himself. Jeff is leaning over backwards to make a success of it. So as no one can say that he's freewheeling in the firm through marrying the boss's niece. Now, go home and have some supper ready for him when he comes in.
No. If he's not home by 10 o'clock, I'm going to the office to drive him home.
Marcia, do you want to lose your husband?
What? What do you mean?
You go traipsing down to the office in the middle of the night... And all you do is to make a fool of your husband and yourself.
Oh, that's absurd.
By what perverse female reasoning do you arrive at that? The way you want to behave, you might as well go about wearing a devil of a great sign, saying, I'm a jealous wife, and I know I can't hold my husband.
Uncle Tresidder, I will not stand here and listen to such utterly fantastic nonsense.
Tell me. This is the first time he's ever worked late, now, isn't it?
All the more reason for nipping it in the bud right now.
You keep away from the office tonight, Marcia. You hear me? Have some sense and keep away.
Oh, but...
If all the chef wants to do is make excuses to work alone at night with his secretary so that he can play fast and loose, why in Hades does he want to marry you? No, hang it. You haven't been married 2 months yet. If Jeff is looking at another woman, it's not a very great compliment to you, is it? Now, have some sense, girl. I lose patience with you.
Am I really being so stupid, Uncle?
You're being twice as stupid. Put no faith in people, Master, and you invite them to deceive you. Take it for granted that they can be trusted, and you'll get trust in any sort of personal relationship.
But the woman's so beastly good-looking.
When you're a little wiser and a little older, Master, you'll realize that love is not built on looks. Now hop in your car and go home. And next time you come running to me with a pack of Tommy nonsense, I'll give you a real lecture. Yes. Now, here. Give me a kiss and run along. You'll go out soon, I hope.
I'm sorry.
Don't apologize to me. Tell Jeff you're sorry, if you must be sorry for anyone. Tell him you're sorry you've been acting like a character out of Eleanor Glynn.
Yes, Uncle President. Can we still come to dinner on Sunday evening?
Well, of course you can, Haggett. Now do get along home and stay away from that office.
Well, that's that. Well, if Benny Puller isn't impressed with this effort, something wrong with his heart. What do you say, Miss B?
Actually, I think we work pretty well together. Don't you, Mr. T?
Miss Bronson, you can say that again. Yes, indeed. Hey, what's to look for?
You mind if I ask you something?
Not at all. Cigarette?
Thanks. I've noticed that everyone else on the executive level in this place goes by their Christian name. I hear you talking to Harry and Miles and Barbara and Tess and so on. But I am still Miss Bronson. Why?
Because there are always too many tongues just itching to wag. Sometimes to flicker in and out like a snake's. Does that answer your question?
I don't notice many people about tonight to hear whether you call me Miss Bronson or Stella or, for that matter, Angel Pie. Please don't think I'm intense about this, Mr. Pilgrim. I'm just curious, that's all.
Let's neither of us be intense, then. And let's go on being Mr. Pilgrim and Miss Bronson. I really think it's best.
You're the boss.
Good, let's settle, then. No, get your coat on while I ring for a cab.
Haven't you your own car here, Mr. Pilgrim?
The cab, Miss Bronson, is for you.
I can find one for myself in the street, then, thank you.
It's always been the policy of this firm that when any of the staff are asked to stay late, they're driven home at the firm's expense. We have an account for the town and country cab people, and those are the people I'm going to ring. Well, have I said something comical?
Oh, please forgive me, Mr. Pilgrim. But won't we both feel just a little silly if your car passes my cab, seeing we both go exactly the same way?
Now, look here. I don't want to sound like a prig, but you must allow me to decide who I drive home and who I don't. And this has gone on long enough. Thank you very much for your excellent help. It was extremely kind of you to give up your evening. Good night, Miss Bronson. The cab number is Metropole 3000.
Good night, Mr. Pilgrim.
Hello there, darling. I'm sorry to be so late. But we managed to finish all right.
Was Stella nice and helpful for you? No, please, Jeff, I'm not in the mood.
No. Darling, you are not going to come over all difficult about tonight, are you? I'd have thought you'd be pleased.
To sit about twiddling my thumbs while you keep that Bronson woman from being bored? Oh, really,
Jeff? It's a matter of supreme indifference to me whether she was bored or enchanted. And for working late, she gets paid. Just the same as you were paid for staying late when you were my secretary, remember? Oh. Look, Pat, for heaven's sake, don't let's quarrel.
Oh, Jeff, I don't mean it. Really, I don't. But I hate the thought of your being anywhere with that...
It would help if you'd remember she just works for me, Marcia. And as for tonight, well, I'd have worked until dawn if necessary.
Why should this silly puller man's affairs be so important to you?
Because I want a partnership in your uncle's firm without any string pulling. Because this is by far the biggest thing that's ever come the firm's way. And because, if I can make a success of it, I can demand a partnership. And no one will be able to say Pilgrim knew what he was about marrying Marcia Capehart.
Since when have you been so frightfully concerned with what people say about you?
Since the day we were married. They can say what they please about G.A. Pilgrim. But I don't want gossip to reflect on you. Now do you understand why I'm going to work myself puce if necessary for Benny Puller and the company's deal?
Oh, Jeff. You make me feel such a suburban little wretch. I'm sorry. Say, forgive me, darling.
Rubbish. Just cheer up, that's all. No, it hasn't been much of a day for you. First, I tell you no lunch. Then I stay after 11. But do try and forget Stella Bronson. It's you I'm married to.
You didn't drive her home tonight, did you?
Of course not. I put her in a cab. But if you must know, I felt a thundering fool.
Why should you?
Well, I was going her way, and it would have been the simplest thing in the world to drop her off.
I still don't see why you should have to run a passenger service for your secretary's benefit.
Just listen a minute, darling. Look, the only sensible relationship between someone and his secretary should be one of completely impersonal formality. But when an occasion like tonight crops up, when driving her home would have been the correct impersonal thing to do, refusing only showed that I was conscious of her as a person, and going out of my way not to admit it. Now, do you understand?
No, Jeff, I don't.
Well, I'm trying to tell you that worrying about her on your account has only made us more aware of each other. She knows as well as I do that I'm afraid of, well, giving you something to be jealous about.
What do you mean by aware of each other?
Well, I can't explain it anymore. Even old Puller thought it at lunch today.
Did you mean to say that you put me off for lunch and then took that...
It was Benny Puller's idea, darling. Now, please be reasonable.
Reasonable. How utterly disgusting.
Marcia, pull yourself together.
If you ever do anything like that again, Jeff, I'll get Uncle Tressida to fire her so quickly that she
won't... Uncle Tressida, eh? I was wondering how long it would be before you'd start pulling strings. Now, listen to me, Marcia. Once, when you were my secretary, what went in the office was your concern. But it is no longer. You're my wife now. And your concern is me and this home of ours. If you ever interfere or try to interfere in office affairs, if you ever try to pull any strings with your uncle, or just try it, that's all. Will someone kindly tell me why old Percy Fleming had to pick out the most attractive girl in the country for my secretary? Oh, Marcia's being utterly ridiculous. I don't care two pins for Stella. And I'm desperately fond of my wife. But she's perpetually on edge for fear I'll start playing about behind her back. Well, it's going to look pretty rotten for me, though, if she does go to her uncle to get Stella fired. I certainly don't want that. And if Marcia tries it, well, she's been warned.
We invite you to listen to further chapters of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.